When you come to your last game, you know, if it's extra innings, it becomes like a free game. You know, like you didn't pay for that in college, you know? And that's kind of how it is here today. Like, you didn't even pay for this. It might go over time, and we'll just count that as free. Like, that's my gift to you, okay? So extra innings are always good. We might be going extra. All right, good talk. So the sermon is going to be on commitment in the truth. We've been in Acts for the last couple months, and so I'm just going to kind of go with that. Rob, the passage of scripture that he was going to preach this Sunday was Acts 18 through 20. We're going to be in 19 and 20. Mostly, our main passage will be in 20, but I kind of think we need to back up in 19 and get a feel for Paul and what's going on. So let me pray for us, and then we'll dive right into scripture in Acts chapter 19, okay? Father God, you are good, and you love us. I think we forget. Maybe we forget that sometimes, of how you love us and how in control you are. I think we forget that our home is in heaven. So God, I pray that your name will be glorified, your name will be hallowed, that your name will be highly praised today. As we're preaching about your church, as I'm preaching about your church, that I know I've learned is convicting to me, and I pray that it will be to the rest of the congregation here. I pray that they'll understand your word, because it's all about you, it's not me. Thank you for this opportunity to preach. I thank you for these graduates. Most of all, I thank you for your son. So bless this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Acts chapter 19. I feel like it's pretty we need to go back there, especially to learn a little bit about Paul in Ephesus. And so Paul is in Ephesus right now. I'm going to read a little bit, but I want you to remember that we're just trying to learn about Ephesus, and we're trying to learn about Paul's time in Ephesus, okay? And so when we learn that, we're going to be in 20, and that's where we get most of our points. But there are a few truths I think we need to understand. Acts chapter 19, verse 1 says this, "And it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus." So we know that Paul's in Ephesus. "There he found some disciples, and he said to them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?' And they said, 'No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit.' And he said, 'Into what were you baptized?' They said, 'Into John's baptism.' And Paul said, 'John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that was Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. There were about 12 men in all." Truth number one, Jesus is the only way. For a church, that we're talking about the church, the mission and message of the church, New Union, that we're supposed to go out and take the way, the gospel, to those at the ends of the earth, to those lost, to our work, people at our workplace that's lost, to our family that's lost, to people in Haiti that's lost, everywhere, to people in Chattanooga that's lost. Like, the number one truth that we have to understand is Jesus is the only way. Like, you've got disciples here that were looking to Jesus. They did not know. They were followers of John the Baptist. Okay, so they're looking and saying, "We haven't even heard. We don't have the Holy Spirit in us." And so what happened here is believers took them aside and told them, "Man, Jesus came. He died on the cross. And 3 days later, God rose him from the tomb, and he is alive. And at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came. And now he fills you, and he guides you and directs you." And so truth number one, right here, the 12 men accepted Jesus as Lord and became filled with the Holy Spirit. As a church who goes out and takes the message and mission of the church, it's Jesus. No one else. No one else. Not good life. Not just God. But Jesus. As we continue to read, so Paul talked to these disciples of John, and they became born again in verse 8. "And he entered the synagogue, and for 3 months spoke boldly, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. But when some became stubborn and continued unbelief, speaking evil of the way before the congregation, he withdrew them and took the disciples and with them reasoning daily in the hall of Tyrannus. For he continued 2 years, so that the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord, both the Jews and the Greeks." So what happens is he goes and he tells these disciples about Jesus. And they became born again. And then he goes in the synagogue and he preaches for 3 months. And listen to what he did. He spoke boldly. So he told them about Jesus. Then he goes in the synagogue and he spoke boldly in the name of Jesus. And they become mad at him. And so I was reading some commentaries, and I was listening to Piper, and it said it was pretty good that Paul lasted there for 3 months. You know, like a lot of times they're mad at him from the get-go, but here he lasted for 3 months, and they're like, "No, we're done with this." And so what does he do? He leaves. And who does he leave with? His disciples. He took those disciples, and he takes them with to the hall of Tyrannus. And right here, I think, is another point that I think, and another truth that we have to understand right here in Ephesus. This is a huge point. I want you to get this. In Ephesus, he took his disciples with him to the hall of Tyrannus. From there, he sent them out. If you go to, we're not going there, but if you go to 19, verse 22, it talks about his disciples that he sent out all over the world to tell others about the way, the gospel, about Jesus. So think about that. That's exactly what Rob's been preaching, Pastor Rob's been preaching to us for the last 2 months. For the last 2 months, we're the home base, the Hall of Tyrannus, the home base. You got Paul there. He's sending his disciples out. That's what we're called to do, to send you out. If you don't realize this, kind of put this in context. Like, we just prayed with a group of eight seniors. We just prayed with them. They're about to be sent out. They're about to be sent out to Alabama. It's a little bit different because he's sending out elders. He's sending out preachers. But we're about to send people from our congregation to Alabama, to UTC, to Tennessee Tech, to University of Tennessee. And with them, I hope that we have preached to them truth. I hope that we have spoke boldly. I hope that they will go now and speak boldly. I hope that when you leave, that you'll leave this congregation like Pastor Rob's been trying to preach to us and tell us, that you'll go to work, that you'll go to the ends of the earth, that you'll go to Chattanooga, that you'll go to friends, you'll go to family, and that you'll speak boldly in the name of Jesus as the only way. And so right here, I think that there's a couple of truths we have to understand. That the Hall of Tyrannus is where Paul was, and he was speaking. He was sending people out. That's what we have to do. We have to send people out. So it's Paul speaking boldly, and we know that Holy Spirit is all over Paul if you continue to read. Okay, it says, and God was doing extraordinary miracles, verse 11, by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that he had touched, his skins were carried away to the sick, and the disease left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. God was doing amazing works through Paul. Like, even a handkerchief that he touched was healing people. This is not Paul. This is the Holy Spirit. This is God blessing him and using him. And so what happens here is some people, some Jewish exorcists, they try to cast out some evil spirits, if you continue to read. They got to cast them out. And listen to what the demon said to him. Jesus I know, and Paul I recognize, but who are you? If you remember me preaching 2 times ago when I preached through James, we know that before the foundation of the world, the angels were up there, and a third of those angels are fallen angels, and they became demons. And you got these evil spirits, and these evil spirits know who Jesus is. They know that he's Savior, and they know him. And they know that Paul is blessed by him. They didn't know these other people. And so these people, what they tried to do, they tried to mess up. I mean, pretty much, they tried to go cast out and have all this power. And so here they are. They try to cast out, and these demons jump on side. This evil spirit jumps on side, and it wounds them. It makes them leave naked. And so you're like, great. For us, we're like, man, this is why we don't talk to crazy people. Because crazy people mess up Christianity. So what happens here, they do that. But guess what happens? That fear, when this happened, they left naked and wounded. But guess what happened right here at the end of verse 17? And fear fell upon them all, and the name of Jesus was extolled, highly praised. So crazy people came in and tried to cast out some evil spirits. Evil spirits came upon them, and Jesus was extolled. He was mightily praised. God's in control. He is in control. Go preach the gospel. And so he was so in control that listen to what happened. And also many, verse 18, also many of those who were now believers came, confessing and divulging their practices. And the number of those who had practiced magical arts brought their books together and burned them in the sight of them all. And they counted the value of them and found it became to 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily. This 50,000, I think sometimes we skip over that. We think, oh, that's a lot. In today's currency, that's $6 million. $6 million book burning. Can you imagine? Can you imagine how many people turned to Jesus and left their magic practices alone? $6 million worth of books. Do you think that this is a few people in Ephesus? In Asia, you think it's a few people? No, this is a lot of people. It's so many people that as you continue to read, there's a riot now. There's a riot in Ephesus. And so what's happening is that these craftsmen are making these silver idols to Artemis. Okay, they're making these, and nobody's buying them. And so they're ticked. They're mad. They're upset. They're like, what is going on? We're not making any money. We've got these idols, and nobody's buying them. People are turning to the way because Paul has spoke boldly, and his disciples have went out preaching Jesus. So he has went out, and even when evil spirits tried to mess it up, Jesus was extolled. And so this great riot. So Paul's there for about 3 years. He's at Ephesus for about 3 years, and he leaves. He leaves at 3 years, and he leaves his elders. He leaves all these believers, and he goes somewhere else, and he goes to Macedonia and Greece. This is chapter 20. So he leaves there, and he's in Macedonia and Greece, and he's there. And then if you go to verse 15 of chapter 20, the end of verse 15, It says, and the day after, they went to Miletus. For Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus so that he might not have to spend time in Asia. For he was hastening to be at Jerusalem, if possible, on the day of Pentecost. So he leaves Ephesus and he goes to Macedonia and Greece and he goes around. And then he decides to sail past Ephesus. Why? He's been there for 3 years, right? He's seen fruit. He's seen God bless. He's got all of his elders there. He's got all of his friends there. He's got all these people there that, not all of them, but he's got a lot of people there that are serving the Lord. God is working in huge ways. Why does he sail past them? Like, why don't he go visit them? This is where I want us to be today. This is where we're going to spend a little bit of our time. Verse 17. Now from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he said to them, you yourself know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day I set foot in Asia. This is where I want to spend a little bit of time, and sometimes this is hard for people, especially people who are control freaks, which is most of us, like me. He calls for the elders. He leaves, and he goes to Miletus, and he calls for the elders of Ephesus. He doesn't go there. So those elders, they leave their church. They leave, and they come to him. Okay? If you just hear this, Hebrews 13:7 says this. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider their outcome of their way, consider the outcome of their way of life, and imitate their faith. Verse 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, is Hebrews 13:17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls, as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy, not with groaning, for they would be of no advantage to you. So a couple things here. Imitate your leaders. Obey your leaders. Submit to your leaders. That don't sound fun. You're like, hey, you're a leader. You're an elder of this church. And you're up here and you're preaching. You're telling me to obey and submit to you. I think that you have to realize this is a two-way street. But that this truth of God's word that Paul sent for the elders to go back and preach the gospel, to preach what he's getting ready to talk about in the rest of chapter 20. And then you're supposed to imitate that. Okay? I think this can tell us a couple things. If you don't come to God's house to listen to the elder, why do you come? If it's not about God's word, if God's word is not central, then why do you come? Your whole goal as a church, yes, is to love God and love others. It's for fellowship, yes. But it's to hear God's word. Not a man speaking, not a sinful man, but to hear God's word, to take notes from God's word, to understand God's word. Why? So that we can be like the Hall of Tyrannus, that we can go out. We can go out and preach the gospel to a lost and dying world. That's what we're here to do. If you're a believer and you're submitting to the elder, you see me? I'm submitting to the elder. I'm here. I'm a member of this church. I believe in this church. I'm here to listen to God's word. God's word is central. I'm submitting. Then make sure that who you submit to, you trust. Make sure it's a church that preaches truth. Graduates, you're getting ready to leave, and I pray that you find a church that preaches truth. And hear me when I say this. I don't want a church that has a lot of hype. I don't want a church that's consumed on numbers. I don't want a church that has a lot of games. I don't want a church that just feeds you on Sunday. I want a church that preaches truth. That's what you have here. Over the last 5 years, God has blessed me and allowed me to preach to this congregation and to these students. And there's been a lot of things up and down there, and I've decided. I got asked one time what defines success. What defines success is that your students become men and women of God. I get to preach to them for 2 hours a week, maybe. Usually it's about an hour a week. And hear me, that I have tried my best to preach to them truth. You know, parents, that you're the spiritual leaders, and I'm here just to be an elder, to love them, disciple them, and mentor them. And I want you to know that these seniors and these youth, I mean, I've cried with them, and I've loved them, and I've cared for them, And you know what? They have loved me, and they have cared for me, and a lot of you have cared for me, and I have seen them grow, and I have seen them struggle, and I see them struggle now, and I see them grow now, and I've seen them turn to godly young men and godly young women. I've seen these youth grow into godly young men and godly young women. I've also seen them fall. I've worshipped with them at camp. I went to Nicaragua with them. We've done that. We give to the Tennessee Children's Home. We've done all of this, and I've seen them grow in the Lord, and that is what is important. Truth. They have heard the truth of the gospel day in and day out, Wednesday night and Sunday night. And if you ask Jeremy, do you have any regrets? No. Would you have played more games? No. Because church is to hear the word of God. We have also went rock climbing. We've also spiked volleyballs in each other's face. There's no doubt. We've played sand volleyball. We've had lake day. We've had Super Bowl parties. We have all that stuff. But the most important thing we've ever done is preach truth. And so if you're here, I want you to know that I want you to find a place that you can have utmost respect. And I hope that it's this place, because I want you to know that these pastors, our hearts is to preach truth to you. It's not to have the biggest crowd in Ray County. We want to reach everybody around here. But most of all, we want lost souls to be born again. We want to see you grow in the Lord, and I want to grow in the Lord. Just says I want to see the youth grow in the Lord. So we're supposed to imitate. There's a reason that Paul called for the elders, and you're supposed to imitate them. So I think we need to pay attention now to what Paul has taught the elders. And so listen to what he's teaching the elders right here in verse 18. And when they came to him, he said to them, "You yourself know I have lived among you the whole time, from the first day that I set foot in Asia, and listen, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and Greek, repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ." First thing he did, first thing he's teaching the elders, first thing that you need to imitate from your elder is you serve the Lord. And hear me when I say this. I didn't say serve a Lord. I said, serve the Lord. Submit to the all-powerful, mighty God who sent his son to die for you. You serve him. Graduates, youth, you serve the Lord. No one else. Not money. Not finances. Not homes. The Lord. Second thing, in all humility, to serve the Lord with all humility. A lot of times we get this and we don't quite understand it. And so I want to read a passage of scripture to you. And so I think you can understand it a little more. Romans chapter 1, verse 14 says this. "I am under no obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So I am eager to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." First right here, I am eager to preach the gospel. I am under obligation both to the Greek and barbarian. You are supposed to serve the Lord. And one of the ways of serving the Lord as a church, as graduates, as youth, as people going to work here tomorrow, you're here to serve the Lord in all humility. That means you are under obligation to spread the good news. Through humility, you realize what God has done for you. You feel the brokenness. Do you feel the brokenness when you stand before the cross? And so you are under obligation in humility to go tell others about him. Serve the Lord, in humility, you go tell others about him. Next up, and with tears. You've all been here probably. There was a young man, he might be here today, I don't know. There was a young man that I prayed for, and we have this board in the youth room, and it's people that we want to disciple. So we write a name on the board and we pray, and we're in a series right now of prayer. And so some of our youth go around that board and they pray for other youth's friends that are lost, because they know that without Jesus they have no hope. And so I have a name on that board, and I prayed for this young man for 4 years. For 4 years I prayed for this young man. And then I guess about a month and a half or 2 months ago, he accepted Jesus to be Lord of his life. And I got to, and so I'm sitting here and he comes and he talks to me and he says, "Hey, I want to be born again. I want to be a man of God. I want to live for the Lord." And what he said, and I'm sitting there, I'm praying with him, and I'm tearing up and I'm crying. We've all been there, I hope. And so if you're imitating an elder, I want you to know this, that we're here to cry. Like, we're here to share the gospel, and we're here to cry. Like, we're here. I told Deanna, like, God's laid on my heart to pray for her even more since we've been studying this on prayer. And so I've been praying for my wife more, and I want her to be more of a virtuous woman. I want her to draw even closer to the Lord. I want her to be even more of a godly woman and even more of a godly mother. I pray for her, and I do that with a heart that I say, God, I want my wife to know you and to know you more. And she does. She's an awesome woman. She loves the Lord, and I am blessed to have her, and I praise her. But I want her to grow closer. I want me to. I want my girls to draw closer. I want them to be born again. And so I cry that out to God. I pray to God. I pray for lost. I pray for your students. Deanna will tell you there's times in the morning, at 2 o'clock in the morning, she rolls over and I'm not there. I'm on the floor and I'm praying. I want you to know that your pastors are as well. And so we need you to pray. Like, we need you to pray and imitate us. And I need you to pray for those in your family that's sick. I need you to pray for your wife. I need you to pray for your kids. I need you to pray for these students as they go to college. I need you to take time. I need you to cry out. I need you to take time. It's so busy. We're studying. We're doing the sermon on prayer. And it's interesting to me that Daniel, we're studying through Daniel, and they made this law that he can't pray. And so what does he do? He knows that if he prays, he's going to get cast into the dens of lions. And he goes, and he don't go at night. He don't go during the morning. He don't go hide in the woods. He climbs up on his roof. He looks to Jerusalem and he prays. He does it 3 times a day. And he prays so boldly and so loudly that when they come to him, he can't say, oh, I was praising the king. No, they know who he was praying to. And so as a congregation, we need to pray with tears. We need to take time. If it's 3 times a day, it's 3 times a day. But if it's in the woods, it's in the woods. If it's out in public, it's out in public. But not for your glory. We need to pray. And we need to pray with heartfelt tears, in humility, spreading the gospel, serving the Lord. We need men. We need to be a church, a men and women of prayer. One of the last things here. And with trials, so serving the Lord with humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. If we are a church that sends people out, if we are a church that serves the Lord, if we are a church that spreads the gospel in all humility, if we are a church that prays for one another and loves one another and loves God and loves others and lifts each other up in prayer and holds each other accountable and speaks boldly in the name of Jesus, then guess what's going to happen? Trials are going to happen. And so if we skip down right here, go to Acts 20, verse 28. Says this, pay careful attention to yourself and to all the flock which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained by his blood. God obtained his church by his blood. I know that after my departure, listen to this, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert. Remember that for 3 years I did not cease day or night to admonish everyone with tears. And now I command you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Hear me with this. If we're that church, and praise God, we are a great church. I love you guys. And I love how the Lord has blessed us. And I pray, God, as we are drawing close to God and we're going and taking his the gospel out to everywhere, that we're going to Haiti, we're going to Alabama, we're going to Nashville, we're going around here, you're going to work, you're spreading the gospel, you're inviting friends, fierce wolves are going to come. But go ahead and be ready for it. It's going to happen. There might be some in the congregation now. I hope not. But it's going to happen. In college graduates, they're everywhere. They're everywhere trying to calm you down and try to tell you what you believe is not true. And hear me, it's the only truth. And so what can we do when the fierce wolves come? What can we do when the trials come? We can stay in the truth. When trials come in youth groups, when numbers go down, play more games, right? Right? Bring them in, right? No, I'm going to preach truth. And we're going to be a congregation that preaches truth. And we're going to speak boldly the name of Jesus. Fierce wolves are going to come. Maybe they're at work with you. Maybe you work with them. There was a friend of mine on Facebook. She was praising the Lord on Facebook. about this thing they did at their church, and this guy came on there, and he just started blasting her. My mom let me read it, and in my pride, I thought, I can so let him have it right now. Because what he's saying is false, but she don't know. She don't know. Because she was just praising the Lord, and she probably should study more. Like, she probably should have studied more, because what he said was false, and she was just floored. And so my mom and dad's like, let him have it. And I'm like, whew. And so I pray, and I realize that that won't accomplish anything. I don't want those pearls before swine. And so I pray, and I pray for him, and I pray for him. And I realize that, you know what, she was down. But you know what she did? She said, I got to learn more. So even in the wolf's cane, God's word was extolled. She wanted to learn more about God. And praise God, I hope she has. Like, she's learned more about him. So now when he comes, she's ready. God's word will be glorified. And so hear me, when the wolves come, stay in the truth. Congregation, if the wolves come, stay in the truth. And pray for me, pray for these elders, okay? In ending, in conclusion, maybe you're here today, and you've heard this, and you say, Jeremy, I want to be that church. We are that church, and I want to be even more. I want to be committed here. And I want to be committed to the truth that you're preaching. I want to imitate you guys. I want to imitate mostly the Lord, because we're just sinners, okay? And I'm going to pray for you guys. Then maybe you need to come here today and you say, hey, Jeremy, I want to be a part of this. Like, I want to be a part of this family. Like, I'm a visitor, and I want to be a part of a church that preaches truth. I want to be a part of a place that when the wolves come, we're going to stay in truth. I want to be a part of a place that prays for each other with tears. That it's in 2 o'clock in the morning or 5 o'clock in the morning or 8 o'clock at night that we're praying for each other. Then at the end of this service, I want you to come down. I want you to come down. I want you to commit to us and know that we are committing to you, that we are going to be a church that takes Jesus out. By God's grace, we are going to take Jesus out. We're not going to be this NUB cult. Hey, we're good the way we are. 500 and no more. We're not going to be that. So if you want to commit here and you want to be about the gospel and about Jesus, I want you to come. Secondly, maybe you're a visitor. Like, I know we have some visitors here from graduates, and you say, hey, I'm part of a church back home, and I haven't committed. I want you to commit. I want you to imitate God. I want you to imitate your pastor. And you say, hey, I don't trust him, then get out. Trust him or get out, because what's the point in coming to church if you're not hearing the word, if you're not imitating the elder? What's the point? You got to be a part of his church. I want to be the Hall of Tyrannus. I want to be that. So if you're a visitor, I want you to commit somewhere. Don't you be a part of the body of Christ? Don't you realize it's a big deal? We're here to love each other and hold each other accountable. Maybe God's calling you to his family. For you that are lost, hear me. I have prayed for you. These pastors and these members here have prayed for you. When Jesus Christ became Lord of my life, he changed me. The Holy Spirit was in me, and he has changed me. He has changed my wife. If you've never had that, If you just have a head knowledge of God, if Jesus Christ has never changed your life, the Holy Spirit hasn't come in you, and you've been born again, I pray with everything in me that you'll be part of the family of God, and hopefully you'll join this family and go about spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want you to be born again. And then lastly, maybe you haven't extolled Jesus' name at work and at school. Let's start tomorrow. Let's go out, and let's be the church that Pastor Rob's been teaching us about. Let's be the church that goes out and presents the gospel. Let's be the church, like Paul said, that speaks boldly in the name of Jesus. And you say, Jeremy, I have no idea what to say. And spend the rest of your night tonight praying and studying God's word. And if you pray to God for a couple hours and you study God's word, it might take 5 minutes, it might take 2 hours, it might take the rest of the night. If you seek God, God said he is always near. So if you want words to say, I know that in my own life, I've prayed. I said, God, I want to witness to somebody tonight. I want to pray to somebody. I want to see people born again. I've prayed, God, help me be in your will. I want to be that. And so I'm sitting here, and I go to a ball game, or I go to watch one of your students play, and I've prayed that prayer, and I'm sitting beside somebody, and they say, hey, what are you doing? What are you doing here? You know, I see you know a lot of kids. And I go, I'm a student pastor at New Union. Oh, that's cool. And guys, that heart's just going, you know what I mean? That heart's just turning, and you're like, hey, you know Jesus? And pretty simple. They go, yeah, or no, I'm not the man I need to be. And usually, man, their spirit, they've talked to you because they know you're some kind of pastor. They know you're a believer because of the way you've acted. And their spirit's just longing. It's just longing to hear because that's the way God designed us. And you set them down and you say, you know, Jesus died on the cross. Oh, I know, I've heard that. Well, you know, you just got to confess him and live for him. I'd love to pray with you. That's it. Carry a Bible with you. Like I've always said, I got these Bibles in my office, and I carry them. You want to carry them with you. Like, Jeremy, you mean in my purse? Yeah, yeah, carry it in your purse. You got a man purse? Carry it in that. Okay? If you don't, I don't know. You know, carry it on your arm. It'd be awesome to be a witness. But be prepared. Be prepared to share the gospel. Be prepared to hand someone a Bible. And if you spend your time praying, it says the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. Church, I want us to be a worker. I'm going to let the students come up to sing. And maybe you're one of those. Maybe you want to commit here. Maybe you want to commit to Jesus Christ and Jesus be Lord of your life. Maybe you want to pray for some workers or someone that's lost that you want to cry out to God right now. And you say, God, I want them to be born again. And I want to witness to them. Then I'm going to invite you to do that. And Rob, our pastor, will be up here. I'll be up here. If Donnie's around, he might be in simulcast. He'll be up here. We're here to talk to you. But don't let us be a fence. The altar's open. Okay? So, students, you go ahead and pray, play for us, and we'll open.